grand plan to deal with Europe's debt crisis is finally here.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. European leaders burned the midnight oil in Brussels and have agreed on a new plan to deal with the debt crisis. The plan aims to stop Greece's immediate debt troubles from spreading to other countries that use the euro. As we continue Greek Week here at Marketplace Radio, let's get the latest on the deal from our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, who is with us live from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, first, give us the specifics of this plan.
Right. Well, up until yesterday evening, the hard numbers were proving very elusive, but we do now have some. The leaders have agreed that Greece should be let off 50% of its debts and that key banks in the eurozone should be required to raise around $143 billion to strengthen their balance sheets so they can cope with their losses on Greek government debt.
And what about the big bailout fund, Stephen, that leaders wanted to make larger in order to deal with any crisis that might flare up around Europe?
Right. Well, we have a number for that, too. The plan is that the firepower of this fund will be more than double to $1.4 trillion. Now, the precise detail of how the fund will work and how it will be financed hasn't been finalized. But when he unveiled the agreement today, the head of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, made no apology for this lack of detail.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a marathon, not a sprint. The technical work needed to finalize certain aspects of this package will be completed by the relevant authorities in the coming weeks.
We should know, in fact, by the middle of November exactly how the fund will work. It's thought that it won't involve any more money or any more loan guarantees from European governments, but the Chinese and other emerging countries might kick some cash in.
So now what about the big question, Stephen? Will this plan be enough to deal with the debt crisis once and for all?
Well, it deals with some of the immediate problems, but some of the fundamental issues remain. For example, there's no role here for the European Central Bank to act like the Federal Reserve and be able to step in and buy unlimited amounts of government bonds if necessary. And this deal doesn't really take us much further down the road towards a United States of Europe where the eurozone can act like one country and control the public spending of the 17 member states. Financial markets have cheered the deal, but Marcel Alexandrovich of Jefferies International National Bank says that's very much an initial reaction.
So I think after the initial kind of sense of excitement and a bit of relief, I think, you know, give it a week, give it possibly even less than that, I think markets will come back to the reality that the problems have not been sorted out and Europe still has a lot of issues that it needs to resolve.
So today's deal buys time for the euro, but it's too early to say the crisis is definitely over.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard with us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Well, as Stephen said, markets are enjoying this news out of Brussels. Hong Kong and Singapore both up more than 3%, and it's the same story across Europe. Nintendo's stock is most certainly not up this morning, however. The company said today, it's expecting to lose money this year for the first time in at least 30 years, thanks to slowing sales of its hardware and software and a strong Japanese yen that's making its products more expensive. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow grew by 162 points, about 1.3%, to close at 11,869. It is now up 2.5% for the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Here in Southern California today, thousands of people are expected to participate in a jobs fair. It's taking place just east of Los Angeles in San Bernardino County, which is a county that's been particularly hard hit by the economic downturn. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has a look now at whether jobs fairs like this one are effective at putting people back to work.
A couple dozen officials are taking a tour of an old airport terminal that today will be transformed into a job fair with over 100 employers in Southern California.
One more thing. We ordered orange and black tablecloths this year, so we're going to kind of be festive.
One organizer, Nick DeMartz of San Bernardino County, says he hopes the event will help bring down the area's 12.9% unemployment.
It's a great way to bring these employers together in one location and bring 2,000 or 3,000 people in.
But John Challenger of the outplacement firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas says they rarely make a match. In a survey of human resources executives,
job fairs ranked as the least effective job search method.
On a scale of 1 to 5, they scored 1.6, behind cold calling employers or blindly sending out resumes. Chris Collins directs the Center for Advanced HR Studies at Cornell University. He says it's tough to stand out against a sea of other candidates.
When you only have a minute to shake someone's hand and pass them a resume, the standard job fair is not a very good way to make that happen.
It's like speed dating or something.
It is worse than speed dating because you have even less time.
San Bernardino County's Nick DeMartz says at least it's something.
If I'm the person who's unemployed and I come to this job fair, and even if I was able to now earn $20,000 a year to feed my family, well, that single person's earnings is more than the entire cost of this job fair.
The event, by the way, cost around $8,000, mostly for chairs, tables, and refreshments. Pretty much everything else is donated. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to a bridge on Highway 80 in southeastern Kentucky that's been there for 82 years. It's not strong enough to handle all the traffic that passes through the area these days, so it's being replaced. Problem is, the bridge is also historic. Officials don't want to demolish it, so they are literally giving it away. If you're in need of a 450-foot bridge and promise to reassemble and maintain it, the state will dismantle it and deliver it to you. You've got to apply by December 20th. Might make a nice Christmas present. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Anger and blame, even hatred, too.
The Greeks we do have is that if we don't feel threatened, we never react.
Our politicians, they are responsible.
It is our mentality that has brought us here now.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The problems that plague Greece and the rest of Europe and why we ought to care. That's coming up next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.